We're holding another week. This week should finish the first Mishnah in Perek Beis and Perek Yavos. Holding at the end of the Mishnah, it said, "Istakel b'shloisha dvarim." So consider three things. Look into three things. "Ve'inat abali de'avera." You won't come to sin. "Da mal amal mincha." Know what's above you. These are the three things. "Ayin roya," a seeing eye. "Ve'ozen shemas," a hearing ear. Ear that hears. All your actions are written down in a book, in a sefer. So we just touched on that last week. The simplest thought would be, you know, just Hashem is watching. You know, don't think that when you're in your comforts of your home or wherever that no one's watching. Hashem is always watching. Now we're going to get to a little deeper, more interesting pshatim. So the Koznitzer, here the Koznitzer Magid says, he says like this. He says, "Da male male mimcha." Know what is above you. What does that mean? That means your past, your history. Know where you come from, the generations before you. Right? So he says that each of these three things are referring to something that used to be. Ayin Ra, a seeing eye, refers to the Urim V'tumim, something that within the Choshen that the Kohen Gadol would wear, and when he needed to know what to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would illuminate certain letters, and he would be able to, figure out what to do. Like you see it throughout Tanakh, they always use the Urim V'Tumim. It was basically seeing the word of Hashem. The second Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have that, but they had the Bas Kol. Bas Kol was also sort of a hearing ear. That's what he says the next level is, Ozen Shemas, hearing ear, that they were able to somehow hear the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and get guidance from that. And nowadays, he says, we have neither the Urim V'Tumim, we can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ozen Shemas, we can't hear the Bas Kols. Yet, what we have is V'chol Ma'asecha B'Sefer Nechtavim. All of the actions are written in a book. Meaning that we have the book called the Torah. The Torah Kadosh tells us exactly what to do. And with that alone, we have enough to guide ourselves throughout our lives. We don't have as much, I guess, specific guidance, but, in Chabad, they used to have the Rebbe. Now that the Rebbe's passed away, so they open up the Mechtavim and they look there and they get guidance. A lot of times in the Torah, you could find that also. They don't have the Urim V'Tumim, they don't have the Bas Kol. A lot of times you're learning in Torah. Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter always brings down that the parsha of the week is not just done like, okay, you know, if we finish each week, 52 weeks, parsha of the week, so we're going to get, you know, we finish the Torah every year and it's great, we'll always be learning Torah. No, he says that each week, that's the whole essence of Klal Yisrael and everything that's going on is in that parsha. So when you learn the parsha like that, all of a sudden you start to see that it's talking to you, it's guiding you. So with everything in Torah, it's not necessarily just the fact that we have Torah, we have the halacha, but we have the Torah in and of itself is kind of like the guide that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses to connect with us in a very personal way also. This is saying that V'chol Ma'asefer B'Sefer Nechtavim, that all of our actions are written in a sefer, is referring to the Torah. So Rav Shaul Brach, he continues on like that, in that concept, and he says like this, he says, "Da malam alam imcha," know what is above you. He says, who is above you? Who is above you are the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim are very, very high. We have no idea what levels they're holding on. And we have to try as best as we can to attach ourselves to them. And he says the best way to do that is to actually go, pick your feet up, go to the tzaddik, see him as he's telling over Torah, see him as he's talking. And you get so much from that. Like they say in the studies that you get 80% of communication comes from body language and things like that. To see the words of the tzaddik is obviously a much higher level than anything else. But occasionally you'll get there, even there. You know, you go to the last week, the Belzer Chasen or something. You know, what are the chances of you actually seeing the Belzer Rebbe or something? Even if you get in there, so even if you get to the place, it's very hard sometimes to actually see the tzaddik. So he says the next level is the hearing, the ear that hears. Well, isn't Shemas the ear that hears means that at least you hear the words. When you hear the words of the tzaddik, that's also a very powerful thing, even more powerful than just reading it in some sort of sefer, which is also good. But it's more powerful to hear it. Nowadays that we have, MP3s and all sorts of things like that, like we got right here. So you could actually connect to this level of the tzaddikim in a very, very, large way. You know, you could listen to thousands of shirim from thousands of tzaddikim all over the world. And if both of them are not possible, you don't have any shiurim, you don't have any computer, you don't have anything, so the best thing is, then, the next best thing is to learn their sefer. That's the last part of the Mishnah. It says, v'chol ma'asecha v'sefer nechlevim, all their actions are written in a book, meaning that whatever is the svarm of the tzaddikim, obviously that also connects you to the tzaddikim. And if you look at this word, the words of this Mishnah is referring to coming close to the tzaddikim, so David of Dinov actually has a very unique lesson that he learns also from these words, which also has to do with coming close to tzaddikim. Very important. He says, often we see tzaddikim that are very, very intensely involved in their avodah, like they say from the stories from Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev, that Mamash, his davening, he would be like slamming against walls and jumping, and you know, nowadays also tzaddikim like that that are just like far out when they daven, when they learn it, it's just incredible. I once saw Reb Zvi Meyer many years ago. It's probably like this every shavuos, but I was once there for shavuos night, and I was sitting there, and he'd come into the Beis Medrash with Zvi Meyer, and he'd like open up this sefer. I'm assuming it was the Tikkun or something, and he'd start reading a pasuk. He'd be like, "Bereishis bara Elokim es haShemayim v'haaretz," and he'd start shaking and jumping and jumping and jumping, and he'd bolt out, and he'd like go into his room for like 20 minutes and calm down, come back like 20 minutes later. It's like, you know, the next pasuk. This went on the whole night. You couldn't. I mean, we have no idea what they're feeling, what they're experiencing that night. But the point is that the tzaddikim sometimes do these things, and we see them, and we're like, "Wow, you know, it's incredible. We're so inspired." But then, often, if we really want to come close to these people, we start end up imitating them. Like you see, almost any follower of a rebbe, you know, you see that his mannerisms and the way he davens and everything is, so to speak, imitating his rabbi. So Rabbi David of Dinner says that that's not necessarily a bad thing. He says, but what is the Mishnah teaching us? He says that a lot of times we say have a seeing eye and a hearing ear. Ayin rav, ayin shamas. Meaning that we hear what they're doing and we see what they're doing and we try to imitate them as much as possible. He says this is not terrible, but as long as b'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim, as long as all of our actions are still dictated by the Shulchan Aruch. Right? The second that we start deviating and we see that our Rebbe is doing some sort of avodah or some sort of thing, and we start acting like that, you know, sometimes even when in the beginning of his karvus to Reb Nachman, Reb Nosson came to him one time, and the Rebbe like basically like told him off and told him to get out, and basically gave him a hard time, and he kicked him out, and Reb Nosson was so broken. Then he came back later and he told him, explained to him why he needed that at that time, and now he brought him so close to him, right? So a guy sees that, you know, this person, he says, "Ah, Nachman, you know, the way is to sometimes tell off people." So the next day he sees some guy, his friend tells the guy off, you know, because he's the tzaddik. We start to imitate the tzaddik so much that we start to think that we're the tzaddik and we can do anything. But obviously, what Rav Dinner is teaching us is that this Mishnah is alluding to, is hinting to us that we shouldn't do that. We can then imitate, we can copy, we can actually come close to the tzaddikim like that. There's nothing wrong with that. However, everything that we do has to still be very, very dictated by halacha, by Shulchan Aruch. Like a famous story from the Rebbe, from Nachman, that one time he said this really, really amazing, exalted, deep Torah, Kabbalistic thing, and some one of his followers came up after and he said a whole cute pshat, and he took the words and he went like this, and he made a whole new pshat. And the Rebbe smiled and laughed, and he said, "Very, very, very cute." He says, "You can twist my words this way and that way, as long as you don't twist one halacha in Shulchan Aruch." And that was the way of rest of us since then, is that, you know, they keep to Shulchan Aruch very, very strongly, even if they have all these exalted Torahs, and even if after they learn the Torah, sometimes they start coming up with pshatim and, you know, all sorts of interesting things. Still, the Shulchan Aruch is the basis of what they go on, and that's where things stay strong. I was once driving, I think I said this maybe, I was once driving with Israel Orbach, the son of Rav Shlomo Zalman, had this chus to drive him to a bris, and he was in my car right in front of the seat. I didn't even realize, I didn't do it on purpose, I just keep my little akute tefillas there. He said, "Ah, Breslov." So I said, "Yeah, I'm trying." So he said, "My father, Rav Shlomo Zalman, liked Breslov." He said that, well, the chassidim, he wasn't so fond. But Breslovers he liked. He said two reasons. Because number one, whenever he'd get up and he'd be davening v'stikin, they'd be davening v'stikin. See, they're davening v'zman, and they kept Shulchan Aruch very, very strongly. Like Shulchan Aruch was a big thing. So that Shlomo Zalman always liked that. The ways of any yid should be to, no matter what happens, to keep the Shulchan Aruch. And as much as you're coming close to your Rebbe and Now, obviously, to imitate is a good thing, but it's also better to be your own person. But either way, keep the Shulchan Aruch. The last thing is, on this Mishnah, one of the last things is speaking about what this Ayin Roya means, right? So we say that we have to look into the Torah, and sometimes the Torah teaches us where to go in life. But obviously, like we were speaking about before, the tzaddikim, when they look into the Torah, it's unfathomable what they're seeing, right? So the Baal Shem Tov, there's a story that he was once approached by a father. He didn't really want to come close. He didn't want to come to the Baal Shem Tov, but the nice that his son was lost. The husband, the wife, the son was lost, and the wife is screaming and screaming. Go to Baal Shem Tov. Go to Baal Shem Tov. If you read a lot of the stories of Baal Shem Tov, you see this is a recurring theme that the husband was always like, "Yeah, we're not going to go to Baal Shem Tov," and the wife was always like, "Go to Baal Shem Tov." And then he went, and then he praised the wife afterwards. I don't know why, but it's a recurring theme in all the stories of the Baal Shem Tov. I guess the women have a deeper emuna in the tzaddikim. The woman's emuna is something that's very very entrenched in her heart in the Torah, in the tzaddikim and Hashem, while the man is always running around doing this and that and kind of has more of a kochi otzim yodia, more of a I can take care of this myself. You know, the famous thing with a guy and a husband and wife driving on the road. The guy will never stop for directions. He could be driving into Ramallah. He's like, "No, I think the next right turn is going to be back to Yerushalayim." Like, it's all Arabs. They ask someone for directions. The woman's like, "You know, just ask." You know, so the woman over here is actually told the husband, "Go, our son is mamash lost. He went away for business and he never came back." You know, in those days, okay, a week, 2 weeks, whatever it was a long enough time that they were really scared. Father finally agreed, came to Baal Shem Tov, and he laid out what, you know, his son's name, what happened, the whole thing. Baal Shem Tov got up, he went to the bookshelf, he pulled off a Zohar, he opened up to this page, read a little bit, opened up to that page, read a little bit, that page, right? And sitting there for a few minutes. Afterwards, he said, "You can go home now. Your son's going to be home before this Shabbos. Everything's all right. He's fine." So he went back. Sure enough, exactly as the Baal Shem Tov said, right before Shabbos, the son popped up, explained what had happened. I don't know what the story was, but he was fine. So he came back to the Baal Shem Tov afterwards, the father, and he was amazed. He said, "You know, Rebbe, wow, what? How do you have such vision?" So he said, on the first day of creation, the original primordial light was hidden from the tzaddikim, right? The Or HaGanuz, the hidden light. It says in Rashi that Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that the Rishon would use it for their purposes, so he hid that light for the tzaddikim. He said, "Do you know where that light was hidden?" The Baal Shem Tov said, "It was hidden in the Torah. When you look into the Torah, if you know how, then you could see everything." The primordial light that basically shined throughout the whole world. Adam Rishon was able to see from one end of the universe to the next end of the universe. There was no limits. You could see anything. It says, so for the tzaddikim that are able to look into the Torah and see in the Torah what's going on, they could see anything. They don't have any limits. There is a Yid, a tzaddik called Rav Mardush. I don't know who he was. Maybe someone does. He went to see Rav Mordechai of Neshitz, something like that. When he was there, he asked him that the world says that you, Rav Mordechai, that you see everything. You see and hear everything. Is this true? So Rav Mordechai said, "Yeah, it's true." So he said, "It's true. I can see a lot." He says, "How so?" He says, "The Mishnah, it's a Beferish Mishnah." He says, "The Mishnah says, Da mal malamcha, know what's above you. Ayin roya, oizin shemasuchom ha-sevim ha-chtavim." He says that the Mishnah is telling you that you can also have a seeing eye and a hearing ear with incredible, incredible abilities, capabilities. He says, on the condition, v'chol ma'asecha ba-sefer nechavim, that all of your actions are ba-sefer. So over here, Rav Mordechai Nezhi says that sefer is from the lesson of sfirut. Sfirut, obviously, sfiras ha-omer means counting, but it also another connotation is pure. So he says, as long as all of your actions are utterly pure, meaning your eyes and your ears are totally pure from all imperfections, then your eyes and your ears are able to hear and see very, very, very far. It says that there was many years ago, towards the beginning of the State of Israel, there was a little girl that was kidnapped in Eretz Yisrael, and no one knew where she was. And the Mossad and all the police and everyone was up in arms. They didn't know how to find her. Finally, one of them, I don't know exactly how or why, got desperate enough to go to the son of the Baba Sali, Rav Meir, Baba Meir. And he asked him, and he said, "Can you help us?" So Baba Meir, who always wore a cloak, you know, around his face, he thought for a couple of minutes. He said, "Look in London, England, maybe on this and this street, and this apartment." They sent their agents over there, busted in. The girl was there, kidnapped. They found her, they brought her back home. So this Mossad agent, you know, whatever, went back to the Baba Meir and said, "This is impossible. You're, you know, you don't do anything. You sit here all day. How could you possibly know this? We were using every single thing that we had in our capabilities." He said, "My friend," he says, "the eyes and the ears can see everything in the world. There's no question. It's just that every time we see evil, every time we hear evil, we hear the Lashon Hara, we see another bad thing. So our eyes are weakened and our ears are weakened." He says, "I have been covered and I have not seen," they say he had never seen the form of a woman besides for his mother, even that I'm not sure, you know. He said, "I have never ever seen anything bad in my life. I can see from one end of the world to the next. It's not a problem." He wasn't saying it out to the God, he was just saying that our eyes and our ears have tremendous capabilities. And when we keep them in the purity of the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then we're able to tap into that strength that we each have, and he was able to do that. As much as these levels of tzaddikim and these things are very, very incredibly exalted, but every one of our actions, obviously, you know, we read some of these stories. One of my mashgichim of Brazil once said that's one of the problems, so to speak, with learning about tzaddikim, reading these gedolim books. You know, they say, like, you hear that, you know, the gadol, like, never hurt anyone, never did anything, so you start to act like that. He said that he was once reading about some tzaddikim and he was getting very inspired, and then he was coming home late at night and in the streets, and he felt like maybe the tapping of his shoes would wake someone up, so he took off his shoes and he started walking, and he like caught himself. He's like, "This is crazy, you know, like this is just a little overboard, you know, the tzaddikim were very careful with people, but ad kedei kach." So to end off on some chizuk from all of this speaking about tzaddikim, the Sfas Emes says, "Da male male mimcha," he reads it like this, "Da ma lemala," know what is above, meaning there's huge olamas above you, mimcha, which is, he says, means you. He says that what is above, meaning that your actions create tremendous ripple effects. A yid does something teeny in this world, and he thinks, "All right, so I did a mitzvah, I did a half a mitzvah, you know, I smiled to someone, big deal." But really he doesn't understand that upstairs, every single one of these things create tremendous ripple effects that we have no idea about. I mean, I was once in a kind of bungalow colony, and on Shabbos, there was no mikveh they can go to. So my mother-in-law got permission for me to use the pool. So John, the guy, used to open it up for me. And it was actually like Pesach time, so it was freezing cold. I'd go in there, and I'd use the pool as the mikveh. One time it was actually, usually it was like half covered, I would just use a little portion of it, but one time the whole thing was open, and I went in there, and I dunked, and I came back out, and I got dressed, and I was about to leave, and I looked at the pool just for a second, and I noticed that it must have been 50, 60 feet long, a huge pool, and I noticed that all the way at the other end, where I hadn't even been there, it was still rippling, boom, 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 still shaking. I realized it was already like 5-6 minutes since I was in there, and it was all the way 50, 60 feet away. We don't realize that every single thing that we do, a yid smiles to another yid, didn't know where that smile can go, what that smile could do, and that's just in between people. But obviously, with lomos, like I think it's in Chayim Aran or one of maybe Sichas Aran, one of the Sfarim from Rav Nachman, that he explains that it's like the spoke of a wheel, that the internal point of the wheel is where we are, and as far out as the wheel goes, right, and the little spokes, you know, like you have a bicycle wheel, from the internal point where the bolt is all the way to the outside where the tire is, so the inside is just going a little bit, moving a little bit, and the outside, if you keep going and going and going, if you go to, you know, space, every time you move your finger up and down, it'll be hundreds of miles. So the Rebbe says that the same thing is with everything we do in the Olamos Elyonim, in the upper universes, every single little teeny thing we do has huge, tremendous triple effects. And that's what the Sfas Emes is saying, that you should know what's above you, what's above is us, is every little action that we do is good. Obviously that could be translated in a good way, in a bad way. Everything that we do bad also has a powerful effect. And this Mishnah also, a lot of people when they read it, they say that this is just like, to quote the American way of looking at it, it's Big Brother. In America, that's like almost like a curse word, Big Brother. Big Brother means that the government, the NSA, is listening to every conversation you have. They're listening right now to this conversation, and they're monitoring us and, you know, everything they say. So that's what this Mishnah sounds like. There's God is like some sort of surveillance devices. He's looking at us with cameras right now. He's listening to our voices, you know, all these type of things. But if you look at it in the other way, you could say, tremendous, that there's a camera. Every single time that you do anything good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seeing there. And no one's there. You're in your room, you're learning these things from Tehillim, you're speaking to Hashem, you're every single word, every single thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seeing it. Then there is an Eisen Shemas, there's a listening ear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to every single word of prayer that you have, right? You're going down the street, you say, Hashem, help me. Wherever you are, whenever you are, every word, you think you've been davening for something for many years, you think, Hashem, you're not listening to my tefillahs. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually listening to every single tefillah. And he's bringing it all together. Rab David Brizel, I don't know if anyone knows him. He's a short yid with a white little beard, walks around the streets of Yerushalayim, the forests of Yerushalayim. He has a little towel slung over his arm. Yeah, if you walk around, you'll see him. Short yid, very special yid. So he's basically just, you know, walks around giving people chizik and doing his business day and night, all day. So he was once telling me, I was asking him for chizik about, you know, davening for something for a long time and it doesn't seem to come. So he said, listen, you're davening for something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keeping it up in Shemayim. It's not like it's not, you know, all of a sudden at the end he'll listen to you and that'll be good. He said, you can daven for something, you know. Person's davening, just off the top of my head, for a house. You know, Hashem, I should be able to find a good dira, a good, beautiful place to live. It should be nice. You know, great. So he's davening for so long he should find a good house. And all of a sudden he finds a great house. It's mom, it's beautiful. Everything's amazing. It's top of the line, it's beautiful. And the neighbor upstairs has four kids that are banging all day long. Banging, banging, banging. And he's living in Gehenna. And he says, well, Hashem, why'd you do this to me? So David said, he said that instead, recognize that all the time that you're davening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting it together. And then when it's time to come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring it down that the house is nice, and the neighbors are great, the neighborhood is great, and everything works fine, and everything comes together, and the neighbors are holy and good, rather than, you know, a bunch of mishkasim and stuff, like we learned, actually it's in the second parak, about how important it is to have good neighbors. All these things come together when a person davens. So that's a little bit what Oyes and Shemas, the listening ear, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to every single word of prayer that we're asking. And eventually when the Yeshua comes, as the Shem should come, b'mehera, that it should all come all in the right way, all with everything kimetukan, the way it's supposed to be. And last but not least, obviously, is v'chol ma'asecha ba'asef nechtavim. And all of the things that we do, and that we connect with, all the mitzvahs and everything, it's not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's watching it to us, you know, like you have these video camera systems now that watch and then they delete after 7 days. Hashem is watching and it's all being recorded in a big iCloud, a big hard drive upstairs. And at the end of the day, all of the mitzvahs and everything will be right there for us to gain eternal reward from, for all of that stuff. All right, that's the end of this Mishnah. We still got 5 minutes. So let's take a crack at the next Mishnah. Mishnah Beis in Perek Elos Perek Beis. Rabbi Gamliel, Benoisha, Rabbi Yehuda, Nasi Aimer. Yofet HaMaterim Derechetz. This is a famous Mishnah, especially amongst the Shamshon Rafal Hirsch people. They built the whole Weltanschauung, or whatever you call it, on this. Yofet HaMaterim Derechetz. It's good to have learning and also working. Occupation. Because when you toil in both of them, sin is forgotten. Any Torah that doesn't have with it work, occupation. And then it's just going to be bottled. It's going to be nullified. And it's just going to drag with it sin. Now the Mishnah kicks gears right now and starts to speak about seemingly something else. People that are toiling with the community, you know, activists and things like that, you are mainly mimon l'shem shemayim. They should deal with them, work with them for sake of heaven. Because the merit of the forefathers will help. And the righteousness, seemingly of the forefathers, will stand forever. Meaning that you're going to have extra special help by dealing with the community for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake, l'shma. Atem, and you, the person, the community activist that's doing all this, I'm going to consider it as if you did it yourself. Even though, as we just said, that there's a lot of additional help coming, still HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to consider it like as if you did it yourself. So, Yofetam Torah Derechet. So what does this mean to learn and to work? So the Bar Tanura says, very simply, that's all we'll be able to get to, a few of the simple pshatim, which are the most important. He says that what is Derech Eretz? And Derech Eretz, according to the simple way of understanding this, means to make a living. And he says, if the point of life is to come close to Hashem, and Torah, and Tefillah, and Mitzvahs, and Ma'asim Tovim are the things that bring us close, why do you have to do this? So he says, why? Because the next line tells us why. Why? Because learning Torah, he says, it's brought down, weakens a person's kaihas, strangely enough, right? It weakens a person's prowess. The person you see, the learners, they're very weak. It's because the Torah actually weakens them, which in a sense here, what he's saying is good. Hard physical labor, right, also breaks a person. He sits there working really hard, so he gets all exhausted. He says, together, the passions for evil in a man will be so deflated that he won't be able to do anything. So he'll be just tired. I just met a kid that was in America. He was here for a few years. He was really stark. He went back to America. He was all scared. But he said, listen, I get up early, I go to the oven, and then I learn for a few hours. And then I go to work until the afternoon. I eat some lunch. I grab a little more learning. And then I go to college for 4 or 5 hours. I come home at night. I have a few hours. I sit there and I learn a little bit more. Go to Maariv. If I need to have some homework, I do homework. If not, I literally collapse in bed. That's good. He said, basically, he's spending his whole day working and learning and doing these things. He has no time for all the shtuyot that people get caught up in. You see, people that just have too much time on their hands, it leads, unless properly focused, it leads to all no good places. So, Amela, that's what the Bar Tanur is saying, is that you're right. Torah is the main way to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but a lot of people need to have basically pound their body and their mind all day so that the Yetzirah has no control over them. Then you might think that still, you know, we just said that Torah has the koyach to weaken the person, so why don't I just put all my emails in Torah and all my Torah in Torah and don't worry about anything else. And that the Mishnah says, the next line, this is the way the Bar Tanur is learning it, and you have Torah that doesn't have with it work, you know what's going to happen? The guy's not going to make money. You know what's going to happen? The guy's not going to make money, he's not going to have enough to eat. When the guy's not going to have enough money to eat, so then all of a sudden all these shady things start coming, that this and that, and he starts cheating and stealing a little bit, and a little more, and a little more, and a little more, before you know it, the guy's filled with cheating and stealing and robbing all these things. And from there, what does it lead to? That's what the Mishnah says, Gerer Sovain. From that, it just leads to more and more and more things that are all the wrong things. Therefore, the Mishnah says, put your efforts into Torah. It helps you break the Yetzirah, but make sure that you have some halacha, some bread to put on your table in a kosher and respectable manner. And by doing that, both of these strengths, of putting all your toil into such things, and having some food on your table will keep a person strong and focused and close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and stay away from all the other stuff that there is. Hashem should help us, Hashem should help us learn and work and do all good things. Have parnasa v'kalut. Shkoyach, guys. Have a good Shabbos.